Door to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, touchy, touchy. We're going to help you deal with those defensive, hostile, irritable people in your life. Give us a call. Let's talk through those situations that you're just not quite sure how to handle. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
So today we're talking about touchy, defensive, hostile people who, you just can't seem to say anything around, or maybe at least there's at least one thing you can't talk about that you really do need to address with them. But they're just not open to hearing it. And the second it comes up, they're either shutting down on you, stonewalling you, or lashing out at you, or becoming all defensive and blamey, and you know what I'm talking about. There's chances are there's at least one person in your life who is hard to talk to in general, or hard to talk to about this particular thing that you really need to address, but you're not sure how to approach them with. We want to talk about how to bridge that gap today on More to Life and help you deal with those defensive, irritable, hostile, stonewalling people and work through those problems so that you can create those loving, supportive, graceful relationships that Pope St. John Paul the Great reminded us is our both privilege and responsibility. Because relationships are how we build the kingdom of God.
Well, they are how we build the kingdom of God. But the ones that are closest to us, those relationships, are usually the ones that have a situation like this in them. Because, of course, if you're dealing with somebody who's bristly and difficult to deal with, and they just happen to be, you know, an acquaintance, you begin to avoid them. You don't have to deal with it. But with those people who are closest to you in your life, there are those topics that you do have to work out. And if you find yourself constantly delaying talking about that topic till it can't be pushed back anymore because you're just hoping it'll work out and you're hoping they'll come around or you're hoping you'll catch them in just the right mood, that's not a good way to live. It's not a healthy way to live. It's not an authentic way to live. It's not true to what God's asking you to do. But you end up feeling sort of like a bit of a prisoner in your own relationships when you have to do that, you know, and it's really life draining to have to do that. And I have to say, the flip side of this is, do you find yourself being that bristly person? Do you find yourself, you just don't want to deal with that kid. You just don't want to deal with that in-law. And you find that you're getting your back up and that you're having a tone come out of your mouth that you don't want to have, but you don't know how to get control of it with those other people in your life or in those particular situations. We're here for you if you're struggling with either side of this today, whether it's people in your life who are being abrasive to you, or if you find yourself being put in that position because things or people are getting on your last nerve and you don't want to be like that. We're here for you as well.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You know, looking at this question of sort of defensiveness, dealing with prickly, defensive, irritable people, through the lens of the theology of the body, you know, we're reminded that even though everyone is different and unique and unrepeatable, which, you know, in the abstract sounds like a great thing, but in practice is kind of hard
makes
to negotiate.
Makes it sound like we're all like lovely individuated snowflakes until you get us all together and we're kind of a messy storm.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, and we're reminded that we have to learn to deal lovingly with those differences instead of being put off or even feeling threatened by those differences. And it's easy to see defensive people as threatening and then be defensive with them. But I think the theology of the body would remind us that the only appropriate response to anybody, including defensive people, is love. And sometimes loving a defensive, antagonistic person means bearing their wrongs patiently and willingly forgiving those offenses. But other times, loving them means setting a boundary, you know, basically admonishing. And it's hard to know, you know, when to do either of those things, which of those things is the most loving thing to do in this particular situation. Knowing the best way to be loving, especially with people who are a little difficult to love, requires us to be open to how God's moving in the moment and to ask kind of what we prayerfully believe working for the good of that other person really means. And that, you know, it's hard to do that in the moment because defensive, hostile, antagonistic people kind of put us in a reactive place where we just sort of react to them instead of really prayerfully responding to them. But we want to talk through how to get to that place where you can be effective even in the face of those people that know how to push your buttons because of their defensiveness. 877-573-7825 is the number. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Who are the defensive, irritable, hostile people in your life? What situations tend to provoke them? How do they treat you? And how would you respond differently if you could? If you're not sure how to answer that, we're here for you. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the grace that you give us to be able to come to you with anything and know that you will receive our prayers, our intentions, our concerns generously and respond to our needs promptly and gracefully. We know that we can bring anything to you, Lord. And you remind us of the importance of being able to create that communion with one another where we can come to each other, knowing that we can get the graceful support that we need from each other. And yet so often, when we bring our concerns or try to talk about different problems or needs with other people, we get defensive reactions. They're hostile, they're antagonistic, they're dismissive, and we don't know how to bridge those gaps. Help us to resist the temptations to either blow up or shut down and ignore the thing, but do instead what your servant Pope St. John Paul the Great reminded us, which is to be responsible, to remember our ability to respond in love to those situations so that we can continue to extend that invitation to love, even to those difficult to love people, and through your grace, create those relationships that glorify you. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, touchy, touchy. We are helping you deal with those defensive, hostile, kind of blamey people in your life. If you've got someone who's hard to talk to or hard to talk to about something, or if you find yourself being a little more defensive and touchy than you'd like to be, we want to help you out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk right now with Joe, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hey there, Joe. Welcome to Mortal Life. How can we help you out?
Hi, Doc. Thanks for taking my call.
You betcha.
My question is sometimes in conversations with my wife, I feel disrespected. And a lot of times in front of my children or in front of other people in public or family. And I pull her aside afterwards. And I definitely am mad, so I could definitely say it nicer, but I ask for an apology. And, you know, sometimes she gives it, sometimes I feel like she never really apologizes. And sometimes she'll say, oh, I apologize. And I say, no, you didn't. I didn't hear you apologize. And then she'll say, it's not my problem. You didn't hear me apologize.
Ooh.
So... And then I just asked her to, could you just repeat the apology and I'll be good to go, because that's all I need, you know. But she refuses. What do I do? How do I set boundaries? How do I react in a healthy situation to this unhealthy situation? Because I got to be honest, I don't react well to this.
And I think you're probably reacting fairly appropriately for your internal reaction. And the fact that you can even calm yourself down enough to say, I'm going to ask one more time for this apology. But you said something, Joe. You said, I'd be good to go if she just apologized. No, you wouldn't. And that's the problem. There needs to be more than just the, I'm sorry,
yeah, well,
I apologize.
And I want to get to that in a second, but just give me an example, if you would, please, just of kind of what are some of the things that she might say that provoke this reaction from you that you're asking her to apologize for.
Gosh, after the call, like, so many situations will come up. But, you know, it'll be, you know, we're talking about something. Let's say, you know, I'm talking about, you know, I interject some points, and she kind of barks back that I'm getting carried away, and that I'm in front of public. That just doesn't seem like the smoothest way to talk to your spouse. You know, like, you're freaking out about my father's health. You know, about my father's health. I say, yeah, it's just I have an opinion, and I think we should take it seriously. You know.
Okay, so you'll offer some input, and she takes issue with either the way you said it or how much you're saying, and she corrects you publicly then, and it makes you feel embarrassed or criticized in front of all the other people, or your kids, even, for that matter, is what I'm hearing you say. And then, you know, you'll ask her to apologize, and she would, and this gets back to what Lisa was saying, because I think she set this up really well, that, you know, we have a tendency when somebody offends us to just sort of focus on getting them to say the magic words, and then they say the magic words, and it's all supposed to be done, but that's really never enough.
And we really do think that, because we've really been programmed by this in our childhoods, that if somebody says those magic words, I apologize, or, oh, I'm sorry, that somehow the correct behavior will magically begin to appear after that. And you really need more than that, Joe. You really need a list of things that would make this actually begin to work. Now, I want to ask one more question before we go into what you deserve, which is, when you talk about this with her, it sounds like you're doing it always right after the affront. Have you had a chance to just go back, like, during the course of a normal week and say, look, I think we have a pattern here. I really want to discuss with you how to break this pattern, because it's really becoming more and more hurtful and it's hurting our relationship. Have you had a chance to do that? I think we may have lost Joe.
Okay. Right. Well,
7 years of marriage, there has been times where I said calmly, I don't like the way I'm being talked to. I don't feel respected.
Okay.
Usually what happens is she'll come back and say, well, I don't feel respected either. So, and then it just becomes sort of an impasse, because I can't move forward with my complaints, because suddenly she has the same exact complaint against me.
Yeah, she's right. Trying to take
it. And then, conversation's at a standstill.
I gotcha.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Well, this goes back to a skill that we talk about in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which basically comes down to learning from mistakes. You know, healthy couples are able to kind of go back after the fact and talk about how they could have handled the situation differently. They don't refight the thing. They say, okay, we can agree that neither of us liked the way that went. The next time something like that comes up, how do we want to handle it differently? And what I want to put all this together, you know, the reason that Lisa initially said that it's not enough to get that apology, and she's absolutely right, is because that doesn't actually solve the problem, right? You know, so, for example, in the situation you described, your wife is trying to find some way to respectfully say, hey, you're coming on too strong, or hey, I have concerns about what you're saying. But rather than expressing that concern appropriately, she's saying things or doing things that you find embarrassing or humiliating. And so it's not going to be enough for her to say, oh, I'm sorry for that, because, well, number one, she's really not, because she's trying to express a concern, and she's not sorry for expressing that concern. And two, she feels like you're humiliating her by forcing her to say this apology when she doesn't really mean it, right? And so instead of the two of you sitting down, you know, in an adult way and saying, hey, what were you trying to do there when you criticized me publicly? And then work through a better way to handle that, you're just focusing on saying the magic words and arguing about whether you should and what tone that should be and what that should sound like. And it ends up being a very kind of parent-child interaction. So instead, what I'm going to propose to you is, when you get off the call sometime today, maybe going back to her and saying, hey, look, and I was thinking more about these kinds of situations, and I understand that there are some times where I will say something in a way that you have issues with or concerns about, you know, and then you will criticize me and I feel picked on. Let's talk about ways that maybe you could signal me to tone it down a little bit, or that you could address it. So, for instance, okay, Lisa and I are both very passionate people. We've got very strong opinions.
Yeah, thank
you. Okay? And if one of us feels that the other person is getting a little too intense in talking about something, maybe with our friends or whatever, we've got a little signal where, you know, we'll just kind of gently put our hand on the other person's knee under the table and just sort of kind of tap just to say, hey, you know, think about what you're saying.
Yeah, or come up alongside them and, like, squeeze her hand. But then we know that little, like, touch means take a breath. Maybe you're just saying it a little bit too enthusiastically and it's coming off badly. You know, just think before you say another word. And it just keeps us out of our own heads, where we just kind of launch and it checks and balances, but we also know we mean it lovingly. We're not scolding each other.
Yeah, and so what I guess I'm suggesting is that you and your wife need to come up with a way that she can let you know that she has some concerns about what you're saying or the way you're saying it, but that doesn't come off like she's publicly humiliating you. And if you can go to her and say, hey, listen, honey, I understand that there will be some times where you feel like I get carried away or that I'm saying something you're concerned about, but we need to talk about how to handle that better, because the way you're addressing it right now makes me feel picked on and humiliated in front of the kids or in front of our friends or whatever. And then try to problem solve that together so that you can find a way for her to express the concern without you feeling like you're being thrown under the bus.
And then you do the same for her. If she's saying, well, but you put me in this position, blah, 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 then say, you know, what topics do you really feel are inappropriate for ever talking about in front of family members or whatever that is? You address her concern and say, how can we signal each other? How can we do this so we're both feeling respected, but we also get our needs met?
Yeah, so you don't just lead with, hey, you owe me an apology for that. You lead with, you know, I was really hurt when you did thus and such. I'm sure that's not what you meant, but what were you trying to do? And then finally, how could we do it differently? Do you see the process? We actually walk through that process and how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love in the Reviewing and Learning from Mistakes chapter. The one concern I do have, and it may or may not be an issue, depending on how intense this is, when she's doing the whole kind of, well, I don't feel respected either thing, I don't know if that's a reaction to you guys already being in the thick of an argument, or if that's just her normal habit. If that's a normal thing that happens even when you first bring up an issue, there might be some deeper marital problems here that you want to look at. But I don't want to go there just yet. I just want to suggest starting with the recommendations we've made in the call, following up with the chapter in the book. If you feel like, well, if those things aren't working after a couple of weeks of you trying them out, then you've got a deeper issue with potentially some respect and verbally abusive issues, maybe even. But I'm reluctant to go there just yet. But if so, then that indicates some need for professional help. And I'd ask you to either call us back here or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and we can hook you up. But I think that these suggestions should get you pretty far down the road, if not all the way. So start there first. And if you need more assistance, you know where to find us, Joe. Thanks for the call. 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Touchy Touchy. We're talking about those people who are defensive, hostile, blaming, stonewalling, those folks that are just hard to talk to. You know, and it could be your spouse, it could be a friend, coworker, family member, whoever, but it's somebody that you need to have some conversations with, but they just don't want to hear it. So they stiff arm you in one way or another. How do you deal with it? 877-573-7825. Who are the defensive, hostile, irritable people in your life? What situations provoke them? Do you know how to handle it gracefully? If not, well, let's talk it out. 877 877- 573-7825. 573-7825. When we come back, we'll be joined by the publisher of Grace Watch Media, Jerry Windley Doust. He's going to be sharing some insights from the saints on how families can do a better job of being gentle with each other. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Location, location, relocation. Studies show more than a third of college students transfer, and half of those do it more than once. He reminds us of St. Augustine's quote, "Our souls are restless until they rest in Thee." At Ave Maria University, we challenge this group to visit us, stroll down our palm tree paths, spike a shot on our sand volleyball court, or partake in an outdoor devotion. There's a reason when students visit Ave Maria, they tend to stay. Ave Maria University, your relocation destination. Visit avemaria.edu.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and we are talking with you today about those defensive, hostile, irritable, blamey people in your life that, you know, you can't avoid them, but you wish you could. But you really need to talk to them about some things, and you just can't. You know, you're not sure how to bring up any topic or a particular topic without them losing their minds. 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to deal with those folks gracefully. Right now, we are joined by Jerry Windley Doust. He's the publisher of Grace Watch Media and Peanut Butter and Grace, and he's here to talk to us today about how families can work a little harder to be gentle with each other. Jerry, welcome to More to Life.
Hi, guys. It's good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk with you, too. You know, this when we're talking about this whole thing about defensiveness and hostility and all that, you know, families often forget that we need to be intentional about taking care of each other, especially in conflict. What can the saints teach us about how and why we need to be gentle with each other?
Yeah, well, it's good to look to the saints as an example, and I think one of the things they teach us is it doesn't come automatically to us, and we do need to make that an intentional practice, sort of how we're behaving with one another. So two saints that I look to as examples of gentleness would be St. John Baptist de La Salle and Thérèse de Lisieux, whose feast day is coming up in a few days here. And, of course, neither of these were parents, but St. John Baptist de La Salle, for example, was a teacher and wrote a lot of advice about how to treat children to his teachers. And he would not say, don't be firm with kids, but he always recommended starting with gentleness and with kindness. For example, he said, always address students by their names and with great respect. He also said, be warm-hearted to everyone, speaking to others in a gentle and respectful way. So as parents, just thinking about that and is that our leadoff with our kids? Not that we don't need to sometimes be firm with our kids too, but what's our starting position? Therese de Lisieux, turning to her for a second, of course, she had the famous story where she had to be very intentional to a fellow sister who was really annoying her to no end, and the sister rubbed her the wrong way. And she was just very intentional about turning that around. And she said, if I wish to increase the love in my heart and the devil tries to bring before me the faults of a sister, I am quick to look for her virtues, her good motives. And then she would, instead of focusing on that irritating sister's bad things, she would sort of list all of the good things about that sister. And so I would like to recommend to your listeners this challenge. Spend a few days keeping a little diary where you record words of gentleness that you're using with your kids throughout the day, and then shoot to have maybe 9 times a day, like with the Liturgy of the Hours, perhaps, like 9 times a day where you're saying something kind, something gentle, where you're leading off with gentleness towards your children.
I like that, and I want to highlight something. You said, you know, like the Liturgy of the Hours. You know, what you're referring to, of course, are, you know, morning prayer, evening prayer, afternoon prayer. Those are kind of those historic times, traditional times of the church where people would, monks especially, would get together and pray. And you're basically saying that this is a spiritual exercise that we as domestic church can do to really encourage each other in practicing that gentleness, writing that list out of things that we can say to be gentle to our kids and to each other. I really like that idea. And what a neat way to cast it as a spiritual exercise. And of course, if folks would like to learn more about Jerry's good work, you can check out Grace Watch Media or PBM Grace as well. Great resources there for faithful families. Jerry, thanks for being with us. And when we come back, we are taking your calls, listeners, about those situations where you are dealing with somebody who's defensive, hostile, blamey. Give us a call. We'll talk it out.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many new parents approach Greg and I with questions about techniques to be successful parents. But this is the wrong attitude.
remember, your baby is not a machine. There's no operating manual for parenthood. Every parent needs to learn the language their baby speaks in order to create a positive, trust-filled relationship that is optimal for his or her emotional, spiritual, and physical development. The language of baby consists of touch, cuddles, and intensive FaceTime. By speaking this language, you are telling your baby, come close to me, learn from me, let me teach you what the world means and what it means to be you. There are supporting actions such as baby wearing and breastfeeding, but most important is your attitude. You brought this little person into the world. The best gift that you can give them is a willingness to give yourself in self-donative love. For more ways to build a positive relationship with your child, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, all those defensive, angry, irritable, touchy people in your life, we are helping you manage them more effectively and hopefully break through those barriers to communication that make it difficult to talk to them. Let's talk it out. Who is that person that you find to be a little defensive, irritable, or hostile? What situations tend to provoke them? Do you know how to approach them in a way that gets you through all those challenges? We want to help you do that and more today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Karima, who's listening in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Karima. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes. Well, I was just calling because my daughter, she's 17 year old, and it's kind of like a constant battle with her. She's always like very defiant with me. Like whatever I do, she's always telling me like it's never enough. And
give me an example of a situation, a specific exchange where you feel like she's being disrespectful.
I don't like I was always telling like she likes to sing. And I take her here and there, and if I don't take her, like, in one occasion, she's like, okay, Mom, like, you don't like me. Like, you're always, like, being selfish, and, like, she kind of wants to blame it on me. Like, if I do something and I don't take her, like, let me see, I go get a pet.
If you don't take her where? I'm sorry. I heard you say she likes to sing, but if you don't take her where?
To some kind of competition, you know, choir competition or something, or if I don't assist, to wherever she's singing, she'll get mad. And if I don't, if I don't assist to her singing and, maybe had something else to do, she will get mad. She'll like, well, you prefer that instead of coming in and watch me sing.
So give me an example of what would get in the way of you coming to one of your daughter's competitions, for example.
Like having class. I'm still in college. I have class or I have an important test going on that I cannot miss. Mm-hmm. And she like does not understand that. And I'm between like either do I go take the test or do I go and, you know, watch her sing, listen to her sing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's like a constant battle with her.
Now, let me ask you, Karima, do you, when, because I have kids who compete in all sorts of stuff too, right? But I know ahead of time, you know, I will sit down with them and say, look, if you want to be able to get to all of the things that you need to get to for this competition, you need to come to me with a schedule at the beginning of every month, and we go over when the practices are, what time they are, where they are. Then we look at my schedule, we look at your schedule, and we figure out how we're going to get you there. Can I drive you there? Do we need to have a friend carpool? What can we do to make this happen? Do you do that ahead of time, or is she just coming to you like that week or that night and saying, yeah, but Mom, I've got this rehearsal, and it's just clashing with your schedule, but the two of you haven't talked about it? What kind of conversations are you having about both of your needs?
Yes, and most of the times, and we do have a schedule, And I've told her beforehand, oh, my God, you know what? This is going to overlap, you know, these events. And she'll be okay. But whenever time comes around, she gets upset.
Okay.
So it's, I mean, it's just, it's like she seems, to me, it seems like she's never happy about, you know, if I'm at fault with her.
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. She's your daughter, and she wants your attention, and she has a right to that. Now, you also have a right to pursue the things that are important to you.
Especially a class that's going to make your lives better
but,
in some way.
You know, but it's difficult. It is very difficult because, you know, when we have kids, you know, the implied contract there is that we're going to give them our best, right? And when stuff comes up in life that prevents us from being able to do that, they feel hurt, you know. Now, the question here is twofold, all right? The first thing is, you know, how can you work with her to be there in whatever ways you can and really help her know that you're making that effort? Because right now, it sounds like she feels like you're not making the effort to be there.
Like no matter how much you feel you are, it's not being conveyed.
You know, and I think that it would be important to sit down, not just at a time where you guys are arguing about, you know, the latest thing that you quote unquote done to disappoint her unquote, but to sit down in general and say, you know what, it seems to me that you really feel like I'm not giving you your due. What is it? What do we need to do every day to make a little bit more of a connection with each other? How can we, you know, because a healthy family takes time, and we talk about this in Discovering God Together, the Catholic Guide to Raising Faithful Kids, the importance of having family rituals where you get together even for 10 minutes a day to do something, to work together, to pray together, to talk together, and to play together. You know, that's all four of those things might take 40 minutes, you know, but it makes all the difference in the world because otherwise you're just two ships passing in the night. There are too many households where families amount to a group of individuals living under the same roof and sharing a data plan. And the dynamic that you're describing is often most associated with that. When you've got families living under the same roof, but everybody's got their own schedule and they get to doing their own things, and yeah, they kind of talk about what's happening as they pass each other, but they don't really make a priority of connecting every day across those different dimensions. And if you can do that, then you're going to see this tension decreasing because she's going to feel like, oh, look, Mom is making a real effort to connect with me every day. Now, that does not give her an excuse to speak to you disrespectfully, right? But what it does is it gives you a way in to say, look, I don't like the way you're addressing this with me, but we can talk, but we do need to find a way to be more present to each other. Let's talk about how to do that. And if you're feeling like you're not getting the best of me or you're not getting that time with me, let's sit down and come to me and say, hey, Mom, I really miss you. I'd like more time with you. So you're giving her a respectful way to address her concern. Right now, she doesn't have one. Right now, the only thing she can do is wait till she gets irritated that you've let her down or that she's nervous about something, and then she brings it up as a way of a fight. But you've got to find a way to give her an appropriate means of expressing this concern and then sitting down and talking about how are we going to do a better job of connecting a little bit every day.
So there are a couple of things I want you to keep in mind, okay? You want to look at creating time scheduled, not just, oh, we hope they happen, scheduled every single day to connect with your daughter. Those times need to be times where you are not correcting her or issuing an order, okay? So it can't be, yeah, well, I spent time with her while I was helping her with her math homework, or I spent time with her when I was telling her how to clean the bathroom. That's not time together, okay? So time where you are not correcting her or issuing some kind of order for her to do, a command. You want to have those rituals every single day. You also want to build into your scheduling when you say, oh, look, there's this terrible conflict coming up. I have an exam and you have a competition. The next step has to be, how are we going to get these needs met? I can skip my test. I'll fail. That's really imperative. But I know this competition is important to your dreams, too. Can you ask these three parents if they can pick you up? Can we make sure you have money to take the bus there? Whatever
or for that,
it is.
Can you talk to your professor about taking the test at a different time?
You know, can you take it early? Yeah. Can you? but really coming up with a solution to try to solve that problem so she knows you've put in the effort to meet her need and she can begin to reciprocate by putting a little effort into helping problem solve that to meet yours as well. You'll grow in respect with each other if you have a relationship that's outside of just scheduling and passing each other in the day. You make time to actually get to know each other every single day and get real connection time, and you plan well together with an eye toward meeting both of your needs in whatever creative ways you have to, but you're both trying to come up with ways to do that, not just all on mom.
Karima, we offer additional suggestions along these lines in the teenage chapter in Parenting with Grace, but I think another book I'd really like to recommend to you is by Adele Faber and Elaine Mazelish. It's called How to Talk So Teens Will Listen and Listen So Teens Will Talk. It's all about how can you diffuse the tension in your relationship with your teenager and find respectful ways to teach them to speak to you respectfully in return. How to Talk So Teens Will Listen and Listen So Teens Will Talk by Adele Faber and Elaine Mazelish, as well as checking out the teenage chapter in our Parenting with Grace book. Karima, these suggestions will get you started. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. 877-573-7825. We're talking with you today about dealing with those hostile, defensive, irritable people that are just hard to talk to, either in general or about a particular thing that you just need to address but aren't sure how to bring up. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Janet, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Hi, Janet. What's your question?
Hello. I have a few, but mainly it has to do with recently I've got a special needs nephew moved in with us in February of this year. It was supposed to just be to help him get, you know, some speech therapy and different things like this, and then he was going to go back with his grandparents or his mom. And I had recently married my husband like 4 years ago, and we're both up in age, and he is missionary. And we had planned on traveling together, and we did, you know, go out of the country in a few times. Well, now that this, I feel that this special needs nephew has come in and distracted the total call that he has for his life. He still is used in a lot of ways in ministry, but when I try to bring up the fact of balance, you know, with your time and if you're called to do stuff.
What is it that you feel like want to be able to do that he's preventing you from being able to do, or that he's preventing you from being able to do together?
Well, because of having the nephew here now, we cannot go places because there's no one, you know,
But go places, you mean on a date? Or you're talking about ministry work. Do you mean doing ministry?
Well, sometimes it's in other countries. A lot of times he's called to go to other countries or go to other areas where God uses him in different, you know, either healing or words of knowledge or just things that he has a really high call on his life. And I feel that, and he's even supposed to be writing a book, and people have even, that didn't even know him, said, how's it going with the book? And it's like sometimes there's like two personalities there. And if I try
Do you guys pray together?
Do we what?
Do you pray together?
Sometimes. And I try to initiate that, but it doesn't. I pray a lot, and he'll pray separately for other people. But as far as us really,
help me understand this, though. I mean, you're saying that he's in ministry and he's this, you know, this great spiritual. But you guys don't pray together as a couple. Like, what happens when you try to initiate that?
It doesn't. If other things are more important to him, I feel that that's a big part of what's happened. Is he's got these distractions now. His mind totally goes over into Joseph, his nephew. that's what.
All right. Well, we got a couple of things. A couple of things here.
And it sounds like you guys were not praying together even before the nephew came. So there's certain expectations that you had based on the gifts that you see he has and that other people have affirmed. And you, I'm getting the sense that you've never taken this to God together to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to be? How do you want this to play out in our marriage? So it's not just husband doing this all alone and wife kind of like applauding from the sidelines and asking God what the plan really is for the two of you and then discussing how to follow God's plan for the two of you. And it looks like he, your husband, is seeing the ministry he has to his nephew as taking primary place right now. And you're left going, wait a minute, we were going in this direction, I thought, and we never really talked about it or prayed about it. And now husband's going in that direction and I'm totally left out. And the only way to get on the same page with this is to take it to God together, figure out what God's asking you to do, and then discuss how to make that happen together.
I mean, both in your own way are missing a really important point, which is that marriage and family life is an important ministry.
It's actually the sacramental part of your life.
It's the ministry. I mean, right, you know, in fact, we're going to be speaking with a group of deacons here coming up. And one of the things that we find with a lot of deacons is that they end up focusing so much on, quote unquote, doing ministry that their marriage and family lives fall apart. Because they don't see marriage and family life as the ministry that it truly is.
And that can happen with any lay person who has a family and has an outside ministry. Can happen in jobs,
you
know, too.
And your husband is sort of falling down on the job on that where he's not receptive to praying with you because other stuff is getting in the way. You might be falling down on the job on that by saying, well, this ministry to your nephew doesn't count because it's not as glamorous as the ministry that he does in other countries or the book that he's supposed to write or those sorts of things. And you know, that's not meant to be a criticism. It's meant to say that, you know, these are valid things to do spiritually and you guys aren't valuing them enough. And maybe you need to bring them to God and say, okay, look, Lord, there are lots of different ways we could minister. We could do the ministry work that we were doing before. We could be focusing on this particular ministry work of being a better marriage, being a better couple, and doing this work for our nephew. But we don't know what you want us to do. Help us to know what you have called us specifically to do as a couple, which means praying and discerning together. And a couple that is as spiritually mature as you say that you guys are, you know, really ought to be doing that on a regular basis. So if you need more structure on how to make that happen, I really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Praying For and With Your Spouse, and especially look at the chapter on discernment as a couple, to really look at how you can come to God and pray through these decisions. I mean, the short version is you meet every day for prayer and you talk about what's going on in your hearts and what God's doing in your lives. And you say, okay, Lord, you know, when it comes to this big decision that we've got to make, here's what's on my heart. And then you say, well, this is what's on my heart, but help us to know what you want for our relationship. And then you talk about what you hear each other say, the information that you're getting, and you keep talking and praying and talking and praying back and forth as you discern together what the next step is.
Right. This is not a one day, you know, you kneel down, you pray, and you, if like God doesn't open up a big cloud and speak to you, that you just go, oh, well, that didn't work. You do this daily as it begins to unfold in your lives and you get clearer vision of it together.
So that's the basic process. We go through more steps in Praying For and With Your Spouse. It's a brand new book that came out from Word Among Us Press. So check that out if you need additional support. If you find that you're trying to push this and it's just not working, well, then you got a marriage counseling issue. But neither one of you is coming into this marriage with really good skills on how to be a couple. You're really kind of living lives as individuals, as married singles, really, at this point. So try this first. If you find that it's not connecting even after a couple of weeks of consistent effort, then it's time to seek some professional marriage help. Thanks for the call, Janet. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with more ways to approach those prickly, defensive, touchy people that are hard to talk to. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. We'll be back right after this.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you today about how to deal with those defensive, hostile, antagonistic people that are just hard to talk to, either in general or about some specific concern that you've got on your heart that you're just not sure how to raise because every time you do, it doesn't go well. 877-573-7825.